welcome to There Are Other Ways, conversations about living life a little differently. I'm Fiona Barrows, a business mentor and brand strategist for creatives. Well, hello there. It's been a little while, hasn't it? I'm really, really sorry that I just sort of disappeared back in October last year. So before we get started with the second half of season two, I just wanted to explain a little bit about what happened back then, which is what this episode is all about. My friend Kate Flanders, who I'm sure many of you know already, was staying with me for a week or so, and on one of the mornings she was here, we sat down for a chat and recorded it for you guys. I asked her to ask me about what had happened back in October and how my business has changed since then as well. I think it's probably the most I've ever talked on my own podcast, and I'm pretty brutally honest about a few things as well. It was early in the morning, so we're drinking coffee throughout. I also didn't make a single edit to the conversation. There's plenty of half-formed thoughts and ideas and just kind of general chit-chat in there as well. There's also a few laughs, and I really, really recommend listening right to the end, as I've popped in a couple of segments from our test recording, and they're quite funny, or I think they are anyway. I will be back next week with the first of my interviews. It's with the lovely Rabia Lomas from She Flourished, and we had such a good chat about playfulness and activism, so please do listen then. If you'd like to get in touch with me, then you can come find me on Instagram at fbarrows, or send me an email via my website, www.fionabarrows.com. I'd also really love it if you could rate, review and subscribe to this podcast as well. I do a little happy dance every time I see a new review, so they really, really do matter. But in the meantime, here is Kate and my chat. Enjoy.
Hello, friend.
So we're saying hello to you when we've literally seen each other every day for the last 8 days.
We have. Yeah.
So it's like, hi.
Yeah, we have.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good.
You're good.
Yeah. This is really awkward.
Where are we right now?
We're in my flat. It is the morning after the bank holiday, Easter weekend, just because I'm not quite sure when this is going out. And what's weird is Kate's been staying with me for 8 days and is now leaving in a couple of hours, and we're only just getting around to recording it now.
Yeah, that seems about par for the course.
Like before 8 a.m. and we're both drinking coffee.
Yeah.
And yeah, nice.
What about the weather?
Well, you've been in the UK asking me about the weather. We had such a lovely weekend, and then we woke up this morning and it's all grey and cloudy, which is actually probably quite good because I need to get back down to some work today.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm not looking forward to the rain coming, although my allotment does need it.
Yeah, your allotment will be happy.
My allotment will be happy, and I won't have to go out and water again.
True.
So that's good.
True.
That's good.
Yeah.
So have you had a nice stay with me the last... I'm just like basically fishing for compliments.
No.
Tell me how amazing I am.
No. It's been so nice. It's so... I mean, we met last year for the first time.
Yes.
After not knowing each other, you just invited me to come stay with you.
And then had a panic a few days afterwards going like, what have I done? What if she's crazy?
Because then I came.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. But no, this trip's been great. It's because I'm about a month into traveling right now. So it's been really nice. It's been nice to come back to somewhere that I know.
Yeah.
To also see where you live in a new way. Like when I moved out, or when I came out here last year, you'd only been here for a few months.
Yeah, I didn't have any friends.
And it's so neat to see, like, because we talked about that. We talked about that and also how hard it is to move to a new place. And so, yeah, it was just really neat. It was neat to, like, see you and see your friends and...
To see me sitting in the coffee shop.
Yeah, and like, know everybody, though, right? Like, it's really just neat to see. But I also think it shows, like, that things take time.
Exactly. Can I just tell you, I'm going to tell you a story. I'm telling this mainly to you, but also whether we're recording.
Yeah.
Did I tell you about the awkward thing I had yesterday?
No.
So everyone, the problem with Foom is you see people around, it's so small, and you think you know more people than you actually do, and you kind of forget that there's a lot of people you haven't actually been introduced to. But I was walking to meet some friends yesterday, and I passed by like a cafe, and there's this guy sat outside, and he caught my eye, and I think I just thought that he was someone I knew, and so I like went up to him. I was like, oh, hi, yeah, you're coming on the walk, and just started having a conversation, and it was only like a minute into the conversation I realised I've never met him before in my life. And he was like, this other guy looking totally confused, being like, who is she? And then, because I was just so awkward, I realised this, and I didn't know how to get out of the conversation, so I just kind of walked off. So bad. I had that, like, you know when you just have like an awkward social encounter and you just like your face just goes bright red and you're just, yes, like, how have I done that? And it was, I think I thought it was someone who I know, but then he started speaking an Irish accent and I was like, this isn't right. The guy I know, guy I thought it was, is like from Froom.
Oh, so, my gosh.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It was so bad.
So you have lots of friends, and like, this is how you're making new ones.
Just like pretending to know everyone. Just being like, gosh, the weirdly awkward, overly friendly girl.
Hey, it works.
Oh, yeah, clearly. It works. Clearly. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah, it's nice to have you. It's been nice to have you back as well. And I rarely get repeat visitors, actually, coming to stay.
Well then,
one of only a couple.
Well,
only a handful.
I'll leave a 5-star review on TripAdvisor.
Hotel Fiona. It has. It's been really nice. It's been just as easy as it was last time.
Yeah, I agree.
Which is really good. Although I was talking to you, who was I talking to yesterday? Oh, Ewan was saying, he was like, how's your internet friend? I was like, she's not an internet friend. Like, she's a real friend. And he was like, how did you meet? And I was like, well, she messaged me on Instagram. He was like, your internet friend.
But he wouldn't understand because he makes all of his friends.
In real life.
In real life.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't do that. Well, you have been. You have been doing it here.
Well, but no, a lot of them. Not a lot of them, but I met a couple of people through Instagram who, like, I think, like, Fee, she messaged me through Instagram. And then I met Donna at, like, a dinner party. But, like, towards the end of the meal, she was, like, she, like, told me that she'd listened to my podcast. Ooh. And then I felt really awkward because I was like, oh, God, she knows so much about me.
Mm-hmm.
So I quite like that when it's, like, a weird, like, they, like, come together, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. I like that. I also find, I don't know how you or other people would feel about this, but there's something about someone, they have listened to you or like read something you wrote and they still want to hang out with you.
Yes.
Like, I'm always like, okay, so like, you know everything about me and you still want to be my friend.
That's actually really true, actually. If people have listened to my podcast and listened to me like ramble on about stuff, And they still want to be my friend.
Yeah.
No, hello.
I felt that way after the book. Like, some people I would meet, they're like, oh, it must be so weird, I know so much about you. I'm like, no, it's like really nice that there's this kind of level of comfort already.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know things and you're still here. And
yeah. But that's what I like had to remind myself before UK, when I had my little panic down the phone to my mom being like, what have I done? I was like, Vianney, you've read her book, like, you know who she is and you know that you're going to get on, because there's obviously so much. I was like, there's so much that you can talk about. Like, it's not. So that's what kind of reassured me.
Yeah. And we have had so much to talk about.
Exactly. Haven't stopped talking.
No. Or laughing.
All right.
We have no idea how or why, but this is our new inside joke.
We don't know why is it so funny? I don't know.
Oh. I like it, though. That's the best inside joke, when you don't even know
we're not even sure why it's funny, except we keep saying, all right.
All right.
All right.
Oh,
okay.
Gosh.
Okay.
Do you want to tell people why we're having this conversation?
Okay, yes, I will. It was actually your suggestion. You suggested that we did this because we were talking a lot about this podcast and about me beginning to start up again. At this point, I've like recorded 3 new interviews. And I was just saying that I felt really like I wasn't sure how to kind of like start the conversation up again, when I think the last thing I said on this podcast was, oh, I'll be back in a week. And then I wasn't.
Mm.
And I think I've kind of spoken about it quite a bit on Instagram and in my newsletters and stuff. But I'm also well aware that not everyone who listens follows me on them. And also I kind of, it's not that I feel, I don't know. The thing about like what you owe people is quite interesting, because I don't know whether it's because I feel I owe people or because I just kind of want to talk about it. Like, I think it's that I generally believe in honesty wherever possible. And I think a lot of people listening to my podcast probably have their own businesses and their own, like, they create content. And so I hope that kind of people will understand what I'm talking about. And then it also might help anyone who's kind of struggling a bit with keeping up with their own, you know, what they've said they will do and have realized that actually they can't do it.
Yeah. Okay. Let's start maybe. When did you say you would be back in a week? Like, when was that?
October, I think.
Okay.
So I did 6 episodes of season 2 and I think I launched first week in September.
Okay. How many episodes do you normally do?
Well, the first season was like 20 episodes long.
Right.
And then I said that season 2 was going to be 12 episodes. So I got halfway through and then I was like, I'm taking a mid-season break, and then just never came back.
Right. Right. What was going on at that time?
So it was sort of like a bit of a perfect storm of a lot of things. It was, I think, like when I recorded the episode with Rachel Ellis and we spoke about mental health, I spoke a lot about how I'd had a really bad summer and I was coming out of it with my mental health. And it's something I quite like to go back to and talk a bit more about, because that was kind of the story I told myself, is that I'd had my bad patch and I was better. And I wasn't. I was really struggling. My anxiety was really, really high still. And I was finding it really hard to focus and get work done. It also kind of coincided with like a bit of an upswing in copywriting work, which was brilliant because I really needed, you know, it was great to have the work and it's what I wanted to do. And obviously, you know, bills need paying. But there is a big difference between sort of like producing a podcast when you don't have a lot of other work on and producing a podcast when you do. Mm-hmm. I stupidly hadn't got ahead of myself, so it ended up with pretty much every episode, I think, was edited on the Sunday night before it went live on the Monday, which was just not sustainable. It was ruining every weekend, it was hanging over me, and I wouldn't do it on Saturday, which meant that I would then have to do it on Sunday. And it just got to, and I had a bit of a, it just got to the stage where I think I just, what I always say is I just had to take everything off my plate that wasn't 100% necessary. My anxiety was really bad, and ultimately, when that happens, you kind of, if you're working for yourself, you have to prioritize the stuff that is bringing in money right then and there. There's also quite a bit in there about copywriting work, which I think we'll get onto when we talk about why I pivoted my business. And it just became this thing that I had to do and that I didn't want to do. And I think that when you're kind of creating content and it comes from that place, I don't think it's a particularly, like, it's not sustainable.
Well, and in my experience, it's you, you end up like procrastinating the work because you don't want to do it. And always in my experience, like, if I didn't really want to be doing it, especially actually if it was money related, I somehow find, like, if I'm feeling desperate for the money, then I'm almost procrastinating it more.
Yeah.
It's so strange, like, how our brains can operate that way. But yeah, it's hard to, I don't know. It's like you get past a place where it's like, you're not enjoying it. You're not doing it because you like it. You're doing it because you have to. And then there's no pleasure in it.
And I think it kind of, and I had a bit of a crisis of confidence about the podcast as well, because I mean, I'm not naive. Like, there are so many podcasts in a similar vein to mine of the sort of like the interviewing creative online people. And I think I just had a bit of a, like, well, why is mine different? Like, why am I doing this? It's not necessarily adding anything to the conversation. And I'd always wanted this podcast to not just be about online creatives and to kind of look at people living life a little differently in lots of different ways. And to be diverse in lots of different ways. And I just felt like I'd kind of was going down the easy route of kind of interviewing people who had all been interviewed before, which is when you're emailing someone asking them to have a conversation, it's hard to email someone and ask for a conversation when you've never heard them speak. Like, the first thing I do is I always try and look at people's Instagram stories and see whether I can hear them speaking. But then obviously that's only people who are on Instagram, and there's loads of people who are living life differently who aren't. And I think this is something I need to work on, but I need to get a bit braver about asking to interview people who are different and who aren't kind of in our like creative community sphere. And that's something that I will continue to work on. But yeah, and I just kind of lost confidence with it a lot. And it's weird because when I looked back at the end of the year on like what I had achieved in 2018 and what I was most proud of, like this podcast was like top of my list. But I think at the time I just couldn't see it.
And then it's hard too, because you're in sort of the, like you were calling it a perfect storm of work and podcast, but the thing you actually enjoy is, it's just so interesting how that's the thing that we push off.
Yeah.
Right.
And the thing that I was actually getting like fulfillment and was, and like felt good about. Yeah.
Hmm. Can you talk about what it was like to actually not work on it for a while? Like to, A, kind of make that decision, and then like what it's felt like to not be working on it?
I think one of the things I felt was a lot of embarrassment. Like I think it's hard when you, and I'm sure that other people feel this, because they're all ultimately rods we create for our own backs. Like we're all the ones saying, oh, I'm going to send my newsletter every week, and then I'm going to do my podcast, and I'm going to do this. And then I was basically off Instagram for about 6 weeks or so at the time, because I kind of went into a bit of a hole, I think, and was like, I just don't want to sort of talk about it. So I felt a lot of embarrassment. I still kind of do a bit, like I still feel a bit embarrassed about it, because it's, you know, it's not, I don't like being someone who doesn't kind of fulfill what they said they would do. I think I also kind of forgot the reason I did it was I lost sight of, I know it sounds so cliche, but I lost sight of my why. Like, I know that's so corny. But that thing is, I lost sight of why I was doing it. And also, like, the benefit, not just that I was doing it for other people, but also the benefit for myself as well, which I think is okay to say. Like,
of course it is.
You know, I always say that it was born out of, not like loneliness or like wanting to have conversations with people who felt similar to me. And as we said at the very beginning, when I first moved to Froom, I knew no one when I first moved to Froom, and it's taken me a long time to kind of make friends and find a community here. And I think I really valued having those conversations, because especially in the first sort of 6 months, most of the conversations I was having in person were like, oh, hi, yeah, how are you? Like very superficial. And I think I really valued being able to get on a call with someone who I'd never met, but who I, you know, who, and having that conversation that was kind of really deep and was about the things that I'm really interested in. And I have made a lot of friends through it, like obviously you mm-hmm. and Maddie, A Slow Adventure, people who I have since kind of met in real life. I did. I think at the time, the thing I felt was just relief. You know, when you make a decision mm-hmm. and you're just like, take it off your plate. And I think then it was just a bit of a relief because of the way I was doing it. But then over time, I really did begin to miss it. And I think began to kind of see it differently and to kind of see the value of what I had done a bit more. Not that I'm like now like, oh my god, it's the world's greatest podcast, or like, oh, this is changing so many lives, but in the sense that like I've had quite a few people message me, and I really appreciate it when they do, of, you know, I think it's, I don't know, it's sharing people's stories and talking about things, and I always find that valuable in other people's stuff, but I guess I just needed to remind myself that that can be valuable in my own.
Yes, and I think that, like, there's two parts. One, the thought that you are allowed to just do something because you enjoy it, but also, yeah, it's so easy, like you said, to get in our heads and to think, like, oh, you know, like, why would I do a podcast? Why would I do this or that? Because there are so many and all of that, but at the same time, people won't ask the exact same questions as you, and people won't bring out maybe different parts of a story that you could. And so it does give people an opportunity. You gave me an opportunity, like last year when I was thinking about quitting blogging, which I then did go on to do. But we talked about that. I hadn't shared that with anybody yet, right? But it was one of those things, like, at the time, like, I didn't have a podcast going. I really didn't feel like blogging about quitting blogging.
Ultimate meta. Yeah.
So I just didn't want to do that. And then we were just able to have a conversation. And in that, it just helped me think more about it. Mm. Like, it wasn't even about us coming to a solution on it. It was like, you just gave me an opportunity to talk about something. So
it's interesting because I posted on Instagram recently about blogging and about how we had had a conversation with my mentoring clients, and we'll get on to the mentoring bit in a minute, about blogging. And everyone has said the blogs that they really enjoy are the sort of the personal storytelling ones. And I think a lot of us are kind of we're kind of told that it should all be about content creation and all have a strategy and be like showing value and everything. I post about this and Jen Carrington, Everwise Jen, said something like that we forget that the most valuable thing we can do is tell our own stories. And we think that we have to kind of do more than that. Mm-hmm. But actually, like, that's like telling stories about our lives and sharing them is, and it's always what I found, well, always what I've loved about other online content creators. Like, the people I love are the ones who just, it's, you know, it's Laura Jane Williams and Nick Antoinette who just kind of tell honest stories about their lives.
Mm-hmm. And then it's so interesting how, like, obviously I've been big on this topic lately, the idea that I think for how much content is out there that's telling people how to do content, I think it's... No, I truly think, like, that's one of the reasons probably the embarrassment comes in or just things like that. It's like the world is out there telling us we need to be consistent and do things perfectly all the time. And, like, that's how you build an audience or this or that. And I'm like, actually, I think that just being an honest human being when that feels okay to you, I think that's enough.
Yeah, and I think it's this thing about consistency because that is a real, like, stick that I beat myself with because I'm just not consistent. I really struggle with consistency. But weirdly, again, it's this thing with the thing I'm finding about mentoring is I often find myself saying the exact bit of advice that I need to hear because it's so easy to give someone else advice. But it's, I said to someone the other day that if you're going to write about being human and you're going to talk about being human, you have to let yourself be human, and humans are fallible and we are like, we're not consistent. We all have like moods and difficult patches and we all kind of go through things. And I think that maybe if I was like writing that, those like how to things, maybe I would be able to be consistent with them because it's not, even though probably not because I hate writing them, whole different thing, but it's you're right. And I think there is so much talk online about the value of consistency and showing up regularly and honoring what you say you will do, and I do believe in that a little, but I also think that we're not machines.
No, and actually I was just gonna add to that my friend Paul Jarvis, He wrote a post once about the difference between being consistent and constant. Mm. And I really liked that thought because he's like, consistency is... Well, actually, I might even be getting his definition wrong. What I pulled from it was that like, there's a difference between being always online and available and showing up like when you need to or when people need you. Mm. Right. So I'm like, I'm not online that much anymore, like on blog, you know what I mean? Mm. But I'm always going to be here. And like, if people reach out to me, I'm here. Mm. And that there's, that is good enough, or like, that's what I can do.
Yeah. Really like that. The difference between consistency and constancy. I'll try and find that and link in the show notes.
Yeah. Do we want to talk then on that topic about switching work a bit?
Yes, let's talk about that. I will probably say this in the introduction rather than being like, I'm Fiona Barrows, a brand storyteller, or whatever it was that I was saying. I will now be like, I'm Fiona Barrows, a creative business mentor and brand strategist. So you will probably have heard that because I'm guessing I will say that. I haven't called it yet, but I'm guessing I will say that on the intro. I've pivoted my business, which is one of those things where, and I think I said this in my newsletter, where it's from the outside it probably looks like a bit of a sharp turn, but from the inside it's something that I've been thinking about for a really long time, that I don't know whether I was putting it off, or you know, when there's sort of like a really obvious thing that's like flashing in front of you, but you're sort of like, I'm not looking at it, I'm not going to look at it. And you don't really know why you're doing that, but you're mm-hmm. just not. And a few different things. I mean, basically, at the start of the year, there are two questions that I just kept asking myself. And they were, how can I offer the most value? And how can I be the most useful? And how can I make my business work with my mental health rather than against it? Mm-hmm. And this comes back to what I've just spoken about the autumn, and what happened is that I really enjoy copywriting. I really love writing websites, and I really love the strategy behind it, and then sort of like the like finding the exact right word and that sort of minutiae. But what I was realizing is that when my mental health was bad, when I was having a bad patch with anxiety, it was really, really hard for me to sit down and work and to get the copy written. I have anxiety about different things, but I do have a lot of anxiety about work and about writing in particular. And there is always, when I sit down, this voice that sometimes is like a whisper and I can just like bat aside. But when my anxiety is bad, it's like shouting at me through a megaphone of like, you can't do this, you're worthless, this is stupid, what are you doing? This isn't going to be any good, everyone's going to laugh at you, la 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 la. And with my copywriting work, I was just getting to the stage where it was taking every single ounce of mental energy I had just to force myself to sit down and get it done. And that's not sustainable, because mm-hmm. obviously then everything else has to fall away, such as this podcast and, you know, and writing and stuff that I want to write and I want to say. And also, from a financial perspective, you know, if you aren't doing the work, then you're not getting paid. And it was, I can't have, you know, I live on my own, I'm single, I'm the one responsible for every single bill. I can't have my income fluctuate with my mental health, because long term, that's just not sustainable for me. So I realised that, and so I'd been thinking about switching over to mentoring. There's lots of reasons which was holding me back, which maybe we'll talk about in a minute, because I think you've got a lot of thoughts on them as well. And the thing about mentoring is that however bad my anxiety is, I can always show up for a call, because when I'm talking to someone, that voice doesn't get a look in. Like, that voice can't, because I'm in conversation. Mm-hmm. And I realised this when I had a couple of days where I had a lot of calls with clients and copywriting clients, but they're sort of like the first calls I had. And I realised that I got to the end of one day where I had four calls, and I realised how nice it felt to have kind of felt like I'd done a lot of work, but also that it was over, that it wasn't like hanging over my head. And then the other part is the value thing. And I said, I recorded a podcast recently called Being Heard with Karen, and in it I say something that made me cringe so bad, and I don't want to say it again. You know when you like listen back to yourself, you're like, oh gosh, Fiona, that was bad. But I say something like, oh, I just kept hearing from clients how it was so valuable to talk to me. But I'm not going to say it like that. But the feedback I kept getting from clients was, and it came up quite a bit, was copy was great, but I really got value from talking to you and talking through things. And it was that side of things that I really got value from. And I guess when you keep getting that feedback, it kind of made me begin to look at that like big flashing thing in front of me and be like, well, maybe I'm ignoring it for really stupid reasons. And I think a lot of what I was ignoring it for is, and I know that you have, is this the dream thing. And not wanting to perpetuate the dream and not wanting to be part of the sort of pyramid scheme that I think kind of exists, where there's a lot of people. And I don't know how to talk about this without sounding super hypocritical, but I think this is what has been playing on my mind, is the sort of the ethics of it and how there's a lot of people making money out of telling people how to make money online.
Totally. Just not to cut you off, but to give people a reference, and like the dream part is that we have both listened to this podcast that's literally called The Dream.
Yeah.
And it's about the history of MLMs, so multi-level marketing. And it was just really interesting that when we both listened to it, everything we were pulling from it was like, oh, this sounds like how to make money on the internet.
Yeah.
But what I, and not to,
no,
because it's like, I don't want to discredit any of the feelings. What I just want to make sure that you're aware of is that when I think of the dream, I think of like, here's how to make money on the internet in like all the ways of just SEO and affiliate links and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Which you're not doing.
No, I'm not. I guess the reason why I settled on copywriting in the first place was because it was like a tangible product that you were delivering. It felt like a very like clean exchange of value. And I think one of the things I said right at the beginning was I wanted a business where I felt like I wasn't selling myself, but selling like specific outcomes. And the thing about mentoring is you are more selling yourself. Like you're selling your brain and your time, which is a very weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that I think I'm perpetuating that, but it is, I do, and I've said this so many times, I do think that making money, working for yourself online is made to look far easier than it is. And I know a lot of people who are struggling and who are really struggling. And part of, I think, why they're struggling is because they think that it's going to be a lot easier than it is. And I don't ever want to feed that narrative. And I think, again, even with this podcast, I was like, I don't want people to listen to my podcast and think, oh, the answer to all my questions is to leave my 9-to-5 job and start my own creative business. And then, you know,
totally,
I'll never work another day in my life and I'll be so happy and fulfilled and money will just come falling into my bank account. And it's, you know, that's not the reality of it. And it's definitely not been my reality. And I guess I just had a lot of mixed feelings about it.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense when you're making a switch that you would have like, I don't know if you want to call it like a wobble in confidence. Like it's just like, it's hard to figure out when you're at the early stages. I look at it as like, it's really just about reframing it because the value that you've given people, even just already, right? Like it's so, it is important and it's not about you selling them the dream. It's like, people are so afraid to even just like get started and then like often if, especially if they're the first, like if they don't have friends who kind of do what they do or want to do, it's like they don't have people to talk to about it. And like one of the things I've loved the most since we've talked about your switch is you keep talking about this idea of like being in the trenches with them. And I'm like, that's valuable. Like that's so real. It's the same. It's one of the reasons people like do mastermind groups or whatever, but it's like, it takes time to even get to a place where you can find those people. You're basically creating that for them. It is really, really valuable. Like I don't know that I would have ever, created things like Mindful Budget. Like, I don't know that I would have done that if I hadn't had a couple people who I talk to all the time.
And it's a real privilege to have those people, I think. And as you say, like, not everyone is in that space where they have that. And I guess also part of me was like, well, if I don't, because I do think, I do think there's value in what I'm offering now, and I wouldn't be offering it if I didn't. But also, if I'm also trying to offer what I think is the most valuable, I'm offering basically what I needed or what I still need sometimes. Like there's an on-running, like so I joke with Lula a bit about like how I'm like, I just need a me for me sometimes. Like I just, and I know maybe that sounds really arrogant, but kind of need the same like, and that's why I'm offering it. And I do think it is really valuable. But it, and also, if everyone else, I don't know how to say this, but I look around, I see people in a similar sort of space offering things. And it's not that I don't, but I can kind of see, I think, well, that I don't quite like how you're doing that. Does that sound awful?
No.
I don't like what you're saying there. But then either I don't say anything or I just offer what I want to offer, and that's my way of kind of counteracting it.
Exactly. I mean, and that's sort of how and why people start businesses, right? Like you're like fulfilling a need. So
and I think the idea behind all of it is, and I've realized that there's like a common theme between the content that I create and now the work I do as a mentor, is that I want people to feel less lonely, less alone. And that's basically has become sort of like my like mantra behind most of what I share and write, and it's, and this podcast, like I said, this podcast was born out of loneliness. It was born out of that kind of feeling of like, I want to have conversations with people who feel similarly. And I think the mentoring is the same thing. Like, I know how lonely it is to be in your business and to feel like it's all on you and have that pressure, and you're like, I don't know how I'm going to make money, and to kind of be working everything through in your head, and you get to the stage where like your brain is in knots trying to figure it all out, and you're like you're like second guessing yourself every single turn. You're like, I could do that, but what about this? And you just can't see it. And I think, and I've felt that, like real like intense loneliness of it's all on me, and it's not like we have co-workers to like chat things mm-hmm. through, or even just like you want someone's opinion on something on a blog post you've written or a newsletter. You just, and to have, be able to get that honest opinion. I've always said from the start that I will give people my honest opinion. I do with my clients. Like sometimes I do say, I think the tone is slightly off, or like, I don't think this is quite right, because I really, it's what I've always wanted, is someone who can give me a really honest opinion.
Yes. And it's, again, it's actually really hard for people to share writing, especially if you've never done it before. Like, I was never good about sharing my writing with people.
Yeah.
And yeah, it is valuable. Like, a friend of mine this year read my book proposal for me.
Yeah.
And her thoughts made it so much better. Mm. So it's really nice to, yeah, have someone who you feel comfortable with and who you can talk about all aspects of your business with. But
and also, you know, as we said at the beginning, we both have a bit of a, I don't want to say issue, like a dis, like it grates on us slightly, the like how-to side of the online internet world, the like you can have a six-figure business like me if you just follow these steps, and that very like prescriptive advice. And I feel really strongly that every business is unique and every person is unique. And also that kind of formula just doesn't really work. And actually, a couple of my clients we started off with had both been thinking so much about what other people have been telling them about what they should do that they hadn't done anything. They got to the stage, as one client who, our first call, she was like, I'm trying to write a blog post and I feel I should be doing this, this and this. And I was like, well, why don't you just spend an hour a day writing for the first week and just see what happens, and just lean into your like creativity and just say what you want to say and forget about all the like
all the other
stuff. And it's not that I don't like think strategically, but I do think that ultimately like creative businesses are built on creativity, and you have to like look after that first. And you have to nourish, and I'm saying this as someone who literally hasn't written anything in ages. I need to take my own advice. But you know, you need to like look after that. And if you get so caught up in the business side of things, then it's not fueled by anything.
Mm-hmm. How has it been feeling so far with working with people?
Really good. Mm-hmm. Like I am really enjoying it. I remember that feeling after my first day of calls, just being like, okay, this is good. I really like it. And I love that I have my calls on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I'm trying to get to the stage where I just don't do any other work on those days. And because they are quite tiring. Mm-hmm. And I think it's still taken me a little while, because, you know, it's a very intense hour, and I'm always thinking and listening and trying to come up with ideas and see everything. And it's really satisfying. And I think I am being valuable. Like, I've had some feedback, and I like feeling like I'm really helping people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's all most of us want, is to just feel like we're doing something well that is good. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, providing value. Mm. Like, if you think about it too, there's at least it's huge in North America, there's this like growing trend of people who are trying to retire early.
Yeah.
And the one problem with that, and which, I mean, people like our parents would talk about with retirement, is that at the end of the day, like, work isn't bad. And actually, when you get to do something that you're good at, it not only means you're doing a good job and providing value, but it also boosts your confidence a little bit, and like reminds you that you are valuable, mm-hmm. right? Like, you're good at something, and it's gotta feel good to just be at a place where you can say like, yeah, I'm I'm doing okay at this, and like, it's it's new, so there's growing pains and all stuff to go through. But it's like, there is really something about that. Like, I'm really of the mindset that any job that can provide that is worth doing.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's, you know, and I started off very small. I just launched to my email list, and I offered like a massive discount to kind of give myself that space of, and on the like discovery call I had with every client, I said, look, this is new. There's going to be issues. Like you know, at the time I hadn't got anything set up the back end. So I then had a week of like feeling like I've been caught with my pants down a bit, and was like trying to frantically set everything up on the, literally as I was like sending out, I was like writing everything and setting everything up. And that was fun. but it's, yeah. And I think that again is something that I really believe in. It's, you know, it's trying and it's taking action. I think that, again, I think I got to the stage where I was like, I don't know whether mentoring is going to be right for me, but I won't know unless I give it a go. Mm-hmm. And it will always be there. Like, is this the thing? And I think if you're like overthinkers, like we both are, it's so easy to think that you can figure everything out in your head, and you can't. Like, you have to take action sometimes and get the feedback from both yourself and other people and then go from there. And so that's been really valuable, and and it's not a million miles away from what I was doing with copywriting. Like, it's a different, it's the same sort of thing, just delivered in a different way. Like, it's the brand strategy side of things is what I'm doing, spending most of my time doing anyway. So it's kind of like how to find, like, how to build a cohesive brand and how to get clarity around what you're doing and what you're offering and your messaging. It's just delivered in a different way. It's more me kind of helping people to do it themselves rather than me doing it for them.
Yeah.
Which I kind of believe in anyway. I think the thing about copywriting is you're never gonna write something in someone's voice as much as they will.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe there are copywriters out there who can do that, but I don't think I ever. I think it always sounded, all my copy always sounds a bit like me, I think. It's been a really positive move, and it's definitely freed up a bit of time. That's why this podcast is now coming back, because I feel like I, after sort of 6 months, I feel like I have the like brain space for it again. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited to, and I, it was so, like, I recorded at the first conversation and I was like, oh wow, okay, how do I do this? And then we were both editing our podcast the other day in a coffee shop. We both had that moment of being like, wait, what are we doing? How do we do this?
Yeah, like, what are the technical skills required to get this job done?
And I just was like, wait, hold on, I used GarageBand, right? Like, it was just like weird that you just hadn't done anything that I used to do, so, but it came back very quickly.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to record the next three interviews and then get them all out and then see what happens after that. Like, I'd like to do another series.
Yeah.
I've also got another idea for a mini podcast series that I quite like to create at some point, which is like totally different.
Mm. It's funny. I'm like, I have stuff like that too. So we'll have to talk about that for fun. No, it's even just this conversation, I would say, is helping me because I feel like I just finished a podcast that I was doing with a friend for years, and I have for like the past year been talking about this other idea for a podcast I want to do on my own.
I think you mentioned it when you were here last time.
Oh, probably. Like, I've had this,
or a version of it.
Yeah, I've had this idea for definitely a long time, and then I don't know. I think sitting here right now is reminding me that I do love recording conversations. That it's not about like being an expert, being perfect, putting people on pedestals all the time. Like, it's just, I do love just having a conversation, hitting record though, and then sharing it.
Because I think, and that's the thing that I always say in every single email I send to all my guests, it has like the like talking points, and I always say, but this is a conversation and I want to see where the conversation takes us. And so I always ask stuff that I haven't said in the email, because I think that once you get into something, other things come up.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I really believe in like conversations as a way of like figuring out what your thoughts are as well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I think that years ago I was such a perfectionist that I had a really hard time asking or, like, just kind of sharing all my random thoughts. Like, I always thought I had to have this, like, very specific answer, and I couldn't tell anyone anything until I knew exactly what was going on. I had the exact perfect plan. And I've gotten a lot better about sharing ideas before they become reality. Case in point, this podcast that I've been talking about for a year. So I just think it's really valuable. And in this conversation, I don't know, just some of the things you've said, it's that reminder, like looking at the little signals, like even just messages people will send me about podcasting. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that is a medium I'm supposed to be playing with. Okay. Yeah. Like I can't. So it's just helpful. Even just this conversation.
Yeah. And I think what you just said about like unformed thoughts, I wrote a newsletter about this a couple of months ago, but about like messiness and how I think that we like glorify neatness and perfection too much. Mm-hmm. And I think it comes back to the thing of we're all meant to have like really set opinions. We're all meant to know exactly what we think about everything. And so often it's not that easy. Like I always come back to Brexit. Like at this point, there is no answer to Brexit. Like there is no way forward that fixes everything. Like I know what I believe and what I would do. Second referendum. actually just revoke completely. But like, I'm not naive enough to think that that is the answer, that that is like the clear cut answer. And I think that whether it's sort of like Instagram, it's that sort of like perfection that goes a bit deeper than just like the visual perfection. It's a sort of like that. And maybe it comes back to a little bit what I said right at the start about like the stories that we tell ourselves and that we tell other people about our lives, that we kind of like, I think we're living in an age, this suddenly sounds really like deep and philosophical, but like we're living in a time where we're like curating our stories as we're living them, and we're telling our stories as we're living them, because that's like what Instagram and social media is. But none of us know what our stories are. Like none of us know where we're going. Like we can kind of like make guesses and stuff. And it comes back to what I said about my mental health. Is the story I was telling myself was, oh, I've had a bad summer, but my mental health is great right now. And suddenly it was like, no, it's not. It's the same as it has been. And I hadn't given myself a chance to actually get better, because I was telling myself I was already better. And I think one of the things I've struggled with a lot over the last 4 years is that I told myself that the story was that I left London, my mental health was really bad, and I went travelling and I like found myself and sorted myself out and came back happy and like totally emotionally sorted, and all my problems had just disappeared. And one Christmas I had a really bad patch of depression, and I think what made that depression worse was that I was telling myself that I shouldn't be feeling it, that this isn't part of your story, you're meant to be beyond this now, you're meant to kind of be. And it's ridiculous to think that like 3 years of, well, 1 year traveling, 2 years of living abroad is suddenly gonna solve everything. And also that everything can be solved, that I'm suddenly this like perfect emotionally like controlled human, when anyone who knows me knows that I have zero and probably always will have zero control over my emotions. Like I'm just like that is who I am. And one of the things we've been talking a lot about the last week or so is like leaning into who you really are, and just being comfortable with that. And not, I think I've kind of given up the fight about against my emotions. I kind of want to, because I think for so long I've told myself that I'm like oversensitive and that's a bad thing. And that's something I should work on. Whereas like maybe my sensitivity is actually just part of who I am.
And could make anything that you're willing to share special in its own way.
Yeah.
Because again, it's like not about always being perfect and having the answers. Like it makes you a human being.
Yeah. And that's all like, I think so much of stuff that we see online and stuff is, comes back to again what we said about like consistency. It's about making us less human. Like I think sometimes like online world makes us very bland, and I said this to someone on Instagram the other day, that we all become too scared of sharing our opinions and thoughts about stuff. We like shave down our rough edges, when actually that's the stuff that makes us unique and makes us who we are. And we should all just, like, I keep saying the word lean in, like I'm...
Cheryl Sanders.
Who is not anyone who I'm like, but, you know, that we should just embrace it. Like, yeah. And it doesn't have to be that, like, I follow plenty of people who's, I don't agree with 100% on their opinions and I see stuff. But then, as you say, it's a conversation. So then you see something, you're like, oh, I don't agree with that. But then that gives you information and feedback about what you do believe. And that's really helpful. Mm-hmm. So I've just gone off on one again.
No, I love it. I love it.
But I think, yeah, so I think we have to be really careful about the stories that we tell ourselves, basically. And that none of us know where we are in our own stories.
No, and I think it's also, even just to take it a step back from that, like, important to, I don't know, like, when people are struggling with something, like, to be aware or to be self-aware. Being self-aware is hard and also exhausting at times.
I know, the amount of times I'd be like, why can't I just be one of those people who just doesn't think? why can I not? We watched Fleabag together, and there's that speech that she makes in one of the episodes, I think it's like the second to last episode, where she makes that amazing speech about she just wants someone to, like, tell her how to live. And, oh, my God, that resonated with me so much.
Yeah. And, like, tell you what to do and tell you that it's all going to work out.
Yeah.
And then again, though, I mean, just to go back to the name of the podcast, it's, like, it's actually living differently in any way is, that's the hardest part of it, I think. Like, not only that often you sort of feel alone in it, but... yeah, that, like, you can't see what the end is. And that's why it is really nice to connect with some people who, even if they're not living differently in the same way you are, it's just, oh, you're trying different things too and you have no idea how it's going to work out? Amazing.
Exactly. And that I've always said, like, and I think when I wrote, like, the first blog post about this idea that there are other ways, is that if you are following the kind of, the like, the normal or the usual or the, like, the most socially acceptable path, is you just have to kind of, like, look on Facebook and you will see what is, like, ahead of you, I guess. Like, it's everywhere. You just have to watch films and, like, you can kind of see how things are going to map out. But when you're doing things differently, there isn't as much, like... there isn't as many examples for you to follow. And I think that's what I always wanted this podcast to be, was never to say living life differently is better than having a 9-to-5 and getting married and having children and any of that. Like, it's not at all. It's just different. And I just want to kind of offer a few more kind of examples of what living life a little differently can be like.
And to make people feel less alone in it.
And to make people feel less alone, because it is, it's my podcast, I can swear, it's fucking hard.
Yes.
Like, it's so hard. And it's, you know, we both struggle, we both have similar struggles, I think, of that thing of, like, well, where to next? And is this going to work out? And you have to have so much faith in, like, yourself and that wobbles. Like, as I've just said, you know, I have wobbles most days. Every hour. Like, no, it's not quite that bad, but, like, I do, I have a lot of wobbles, and it's, and I, the thing that has always helped me is hearing stories of other people's wobbles.
So you're glad the podcast is back?
Yes. And I really hope everyone enjoys these next 6 episodes. And yeah, and as I said before, I'm working on the diversity. It's not, these 6 aren't going to be perfect. And I would like to, yeah, to kind of continue to work on that and continue to develop and continue to talk to people who are living life a little differently in lots of different ways. But that's going to be a work in progress.
I also think it's a really great opportunity just to say, like, if people know of people who are living differently.
Yeah, and who can have a conversation. Like, I know it sounds awful. Yeah. But, like, I kind of, who would be willing to have a conversation and who can talk about things. If anyone knows of anyone, then I am really keen. Because, finding people, at the moment it does tend to be through Instagram, but obviously that's only reaching, that's a very small section already. So I'd love to hear about other people.
Cool.
And thank you, Kate, so much for having this conversation. And this was, like, entirely your idea as well. So thank you.
I'm glad to do it. Thank you for letting me test my equipment.
I hope you've enjoyed the dispatches from my work room. This is, I will put something at the very, I'll edit it in at the very end of the podcast. Please do listen until the very end, because there's a really funny thing that we recorded when we were testing yesterday. Because we've got like little mics on our tops.
Yeah, we have little lav mics on. We're hooked up to like quite a little, it's a little system.
It is, but yeah. It's good, I hope. Yeah. I hope. It's the first time I've recorded a podcast in person. I really like it.
Yes.
Maybe I need to get one of those. Because one of my many ideas is to do like a little mini series about Foom, There Are Other Ways.
Cool.
Like a few people, a few of my new friends.
Oh, I like that.
Specifically. And I think for that, I would probably like to record in person.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're just rambling now.
No, it's great.
Kate, thank you so much. It's been really nice. I don't think I've ever like spoken on my own podcast this much before.
Well, I'm very, very glad that I could help you.
Thank you.
Or just navigate the conversation.
Yeah. So. But yeah, thank you very much, Kate. And I don't know how to end this. Thanks, Kate. And stop.
Oh my God.
So what, the microphones weren't turned on?
No.
Can you hear me now?
I can.
Can you? How do I sound?
Good.
How does my right boob sound? What do you want to say? Right boob, what do you want to say to Kate?
Talk to the left one.
Talk to the left one? The left one's over here. Left one doesn't have a lot to say. The right boob's very vocal.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Okay.
And also, do you think it's going to sound really echoey in here? Too? We should like go and put like a duvet over us or something. Hold on, okay. So, trial. Does this sound... Okay, I want to know whether this sounds any better, okay?
To be fair, Fiona now has a yellow blanket over her head.
Hold on, we're not putting this out.
We're just going to look like two ghost people.
Ghost one, ghost two. Ghost one.
Like people,
guys, one, can you hear me?
People are gonna walk in. I don't actually know who's gonna walk in, but people are gonna walk in and just see these two people hiding under blankets.
Having a conversation. Okay, right, let's stop.
Okay, I'm crying.
Okay.